Welcome everybody, and welcome to the Georgetown Council meeting of the 29th of April 2025. And welcome to all those attendees in the gallery. Right, let's start. Okay, we'll start with our acknowledgements of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Litra Marina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. Excuse me. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kingi Matatakinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pākehā people in Tributo. So just want to advise everybody that this meeting is recorded. It does not replace the written minutes. There'll be no transcript of the audio recording, and it is made available for the public to download. Item one is our attendance register. For apologies and leave of absence, we have none today. We have a full house. In attendance today, we'll start with the councillors. We have Councillor Heather Barwick, Councillor Winston Mason, Councillor Heather Ashley, Councillor Winston Archer, Councillor Tim Harris, Councillor Simone Lowe, Councillor Jason Orr, and Councillor and Deputy Mayor Greg Dawson, and Councillor and Mayor Greg Teaser. From the staff side, we have our General Manager Shane Power, excuse me, our Director of Corporate and Community Cheryl Hyde, our Director of Organizational Performance and Strategy Rick Dunn, our Director of Infrastructure and Development, Andrew McCarthy. We have our Senior Executive Assistant and Governance Officer, Louise Dickinson. And Louise is ably assisted today by Kobe Roach and Molly Crane. Welcome, guys. All right, item 2.1. Sorry. Section 2, confirmation of minutes, item 2.1, the ordinary council meeting held on the 25th of March 2022. Can I call for a mover to move the council meeting minutes of the 25th of March? Our mover is Councillor Harris. Thank you, Councillor Harris. And seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris.
No, thank you, Mayor. No, nothing further to add, just to accept the minutes.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
Fine, thank you.
I'll open that to speakers for or against or questions. There being none, we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried. Councillor Barwick, are you against?
Against?
Councillor Barwick. Motion carried 8-1. All right, today a late item. Over to you, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A late item is being considered today for inclusion in the agenda. The late item relates to the establishment of a General Manager Performance Review Panel. The reasons outlined for why I have considered it in compliance with both the regulations and the Act is that it has both relied on qualified advice which came in after the publishment of the agenda. It will, if accepted by Council, be considered in close as it relates to contractual employment matters, which the timing has brought it to an emergency, I suppose. So it is presented to Council for your consideration.
To that end, can I call for a mover, please, for this item 3.1?
I'd like to move a motion, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to think about it because I saw Councillor Mason move the motion, and then I've got an amendment.
I beg your pardon.
So the start. How about we start this way? We'll start with the mover being Councillor Mason, and seconded by Councillor Dawson. All right, Councillor Mason.
Yes, I'd like to move this motion to move it into closed session as all the points outlined by the General Manager in the introduction.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Dawson?
No, it's going closed. I'm supportive of Councillor Mason's comments.
Right, I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for or against or questions? Councillor Bowick?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move an amendment to that motion.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And my amendment is that this motion, I'm moving against this motion going into closed session and being addressed today under the fact that it does not come under the rules and regulations of a race item. Then I'll talk to why.
Let's first just make sure that we capture it. So if we can just work with Louise to capture it. So, just for
the order. Against the regulations of the late item.
Yeah, so we first got to capture it, and then we'll see whether or not. So firstly, I'll simplify things. The movers of the initial motion, do you accept the changes? I mean, it's almost an exclusive motion. Okay, good. All right, so let's capture it.
Please.
Yeah, so we've got an amendment. So Louise is just capturing the amendment, and then I'll call for a seconder if there's a seconder who wants to.
So what was the amendment?
That's what we're capturing right now.
I thought Councillor Bowick just said she didn't agree with it, so I thought it wasn't a motion.
No, so Councillor Bowick asked the movers of the original motion whether they consented to it, and they did not. So now Louise has captured Councillor Barwick's amendment, and the amendment reads that Council resolves not to receive the late item agenda report 3.1 from the General Manager as it does not comply with the regulations pertaining to a late item. So I'll go back to Councillor Barwick first. Councillor Barwick, does that reflect accurately? I think you're right, given that it's so different. And it's not accepted, so it becomes a foreshadowed motion. I think you're quite right. I think it has to. Okay. So, Councillor Bowick, I'm going to indicate that you've accepted it as a foreshadowed motion. Okay. So, just can you confirm by looking at the board, Councillor Bowick, if you can just confirm that that accurately reflects your foreshadowed motion? We have your foreshadowed motion. I don't think I need to call for a seconder unless the initial motion fails, in which case we'll call for a seconder for your foreshadowed motion. All right, so we revert back to item 3.1. As in the agenda, we have our mover, Councillor Mason, and our seconder, Councillor Dawson. The mover and the seconder have spoken to the motion or have introduced the motion. I will now open it to the floor for any speakers for or against the late item as is presented before you. Any questions or speakers? Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. So I certainly have some questions. I didn't sort of understand what the mover and seconder spoke about. I thought it was just introduced. So this is now where we debate that?
Yes, correct.
So is this where Councillor Barwick would then have her say or no?
She will have an opportunity to speak to the motion, but she will be debating this item 3.1 as is presented before you, not her foreshadowed motion.
Okay, so it just makes it difficult. So for me to understand. Like, I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want to speak to the motion, though?
Thank you. Awesome. So I was just interested to see what Councillor Barwick had to say, because I was happy with what I received in the communication to understand why from Legat and the legal team. So I understood why I was happy, but I was happy to also hear to understand why Councillor Barwick felt that it didn't. I'm reading where it does. So then if we move this motion now, then I'm not going to understand where Councillor Barwick was saying it doesn't. So I just wanted to understand.
How about you ask the General Manager whether or not the motion is compliant under the Meeting Procedures Act of, I think, 2005, something like that, 2015. Why don't you just ask him?
Can I please ask that question?
There you go. Over to you. Through the chair to the General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the question, Councillor Lowe. Subsection 8.6 of the meeting regulations specifies what's to be considered as a late item by the General Manager prior to tabling. It does require Council by absolute majority to consider the report to be included as a late item. The responsibility of the General Manager is to report the reason why it was not made possible to be included in the agenda. The item or the report was not given to the General Manager in time. The agenda has already been published, so it satisfies point 686A. 86B, the General Manager has reported that the matter is urgent. My view is that it relates to the annual review of the General Manager, which is past its expiry date, being 12 months. We are now heading into the 13th month. Subsection 6C, in the case where the matter requires the advice of a qualified person also. So we have, obviously, those are the privilege for a report being confidential, we'll be able to confirm that qualified advice has been sought on that matter.
So in short, yes. Any other speakers?
No, I was seconding the motion and support what's put forward.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Last call. I'll either return it to the mover.
As no one put a counter argument, I'll support the motion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Barwick?
Can I talk against it?
Of course you can.
Thank you. The reason that I speak against this motion, the Act does say that we need to have 4 days' notice or 2 days' notice. We did not get anything about this late item in that time frame. It just turned up yesterday, and here we are today discussing it. The other issue is that you are right, but number A says the GM, what it does say to you, I'll read the beginning of the entire Act. The chairman, and this is the chairman under what section of a meeting regulations, I'm going to ask you to come under at a workshop today. The regulation section 6 says a council by absolute majority may decide to deal with the matter made, and today you told us it will be dealt with. Well, it's made, it's up to us around this table. It may be decide to deal with a matter that is not on the agenda if A, the General Manager has reported the reason it was not possible to include the matter on the agenda, which we got notification last yesterday. The agenda item was given to us today at our workshop. It also says, B, the General Manager has reported that the matter is urgent. I don't see that this matter is urgent. This matter can be addressed next month. It is still coming into the May time that we were going to do that review. The reason this is coming to this table is to change how we do things, which I can't go into because it's in closed session at this point of time. Nothing's changed. It can still happen in May. It does not have to be put to this table today. And then C, it says exactly what you say, that you've got qualified advice. and the advice has been obtained and taken into account in providing you, the general manager, advice to give to us as a council. It is not something that we have to do today, and I think it should be left and not come through as a late item.
Thank you, Councillor Bark. Any other speakers? Otherwise, I hand it back to Councillor Archer.
I'm just thinking on technicality, probably because the actual late item itself has got no Section 65 declaration attached to it. I'm sort of doubting that it's, you're sort of deciding to put it into another document that's got the declaration, but this document itself doesn't have the declaration, so technically I'll question it. I'm going to do it on the side of caution. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. All right, I'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Mason, to close.
I put the motion, thank you, Mayor.
Well, that will, we'll put that to the vote. So you're voting on whether to accept this item for discussion in closed session. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashby, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, against Councillor Barwick and Councillor Archer. The motion is carried by 7-2. And that means we now establish in closed. I'll introduce it in closed. So yes, we have Councillor Barwick. Okay, the motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll wait for the general manager's declaration. Thank you. So Section 4 is declarations of interest, councillors, pertaining to the agenda before you today. Does anyone want to declare a conflict of interest, both real or perceived? There being none. That leads us to Section 5, public question time. So once again, welcome to the gallery. All of you have been furnished with copies of our public question time policy. There is a policy and a procedure by which we ask you to please conduct yourself accordingly. But I'll give you a brief preview. So we will set aside 15 minutes for public question time. Questions given on notice will be addressed first. Thank you to those who provided questions on notice. It just means that we can provide you with quality answers. Sometimes if pre-research or any work is required, just means we can give you an answer straight up. So thank you very much for that. Once questions on notice have been addressed, persons who have registered their interest to ask a question will be called to do so in the order in which they have registered. Persons attending council meetings will have the opportunity to register their interest to ask a question without notice prior to the commencement of the meeting. Council staff will be on hand to assist with this process. We will make every effort to give you the best answer we possibly can. If you simply do not know the information, we may take your question on notice and provide you a response published in the next agenda. Participants cannot ask more than two questions in a row, with a maximum of 2 minutes per question. And I'm going to ask you specifically, please refrain from making statements. Get straight to your question so we can give you an answer. That would be greatly appreciated. If a person has more than two questions, they'll be placed at the end of the queue. And if time permits, you can ask your further questions once all the other persons have had an opportunity to ask questions. Persons who have not registered their interest to ask a question will be given an opportunity to do so following all of those who have registered. All questions will be directed to the chairperson. I may call on assistance from the staff accordingly to give you the best quality answer possible. Right, here we go. So I'm going to first start with Mr. Glisson. John, do you want to come forward?
I have a...
Sorry, just for the sake of, if you could just state your name and address, that would be handy.
John Glisson, Mackenzie Drive, Lowhead.
Thank you.
I've some concerns about the work going on in Mackenzie Drive at the moment. I came to council, your correspondent wrote to me back in January of 2004, 15th of January, the correspondence was first dated. saying that I'd attended a meeting on the 19th of December 2004, which is basically 12 months after you've written to me. So your correspondence dates are very, very poor, I'm afraid. Someone needs to have a good look at your system because...
Apologies, that's clearly a...
You then go on to say that Mr. Glisson advised that he wrote to council in 2001, which should have read 2021, so 20 years out on that one too, by the way.
Thank you.
Raised an issue for Stillmore. It confirmed that I'd already raised it a couple of years prior on a number of occasions about the fact that the Stillmore are coming from the roof of the houses in Mackenzie Drive, run out into a spoon drain virtually, down the street and under the houses next door to us. Council wrote to us dated the 8th of April this year to say that the this note is to advise that residents about council's upcoming drainage works in Mackenzie Drive. Council's engaged Pro Digger for to implement, with intention to commence work from Wednesday the 23rd. This project will involve installing curb and channeling along with drain pipes, pits and associated civil works. Now, I came into council to talk to the engineer and find out exactly what that entailed and whether or not we could connect our stormwater into these pipes. The engineer came out and had a look at it, said basically what's being designed isn't going to accept the amount of water that come off our roof. I see that not fixing the problem, so we're putting a band-aid on a bullet wound, so to speak. I have real concerns if we're going to get the curbing and channeling put in, we can connect in and run our water into the curb and channeling, but it's not going to address the problem if it's just an overflow and create the same problem for the people in the bottom of the street. Can council confirm that the adequate stormwater drainage is going to be installed in the street to address the problem? Because at the moment your engineers are telling me it can't. I spoke to Progies yesterday to find out what they said. Look, we can connect you up to it, but we're going to take it.
Okay. Look, it's an excellent question. Andrew, do you want to come and provide a comment? Andrew McCarthy, Director of Infrastructure. You want to speak to it? Okay, through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I devise a chair target on those, only because I haven't got the question's coming late. I haven't got the design in front of me, so I'm not sure what the hydraulic capacity of the design will take, but we'll certainly come back to you as soon as possible.
But sure, it would be checked.
And the legitimate question.
Yeah, we'll certainly come back to you as soon as possible. Yeah. But okay. I don't have that qualified advice in the room right now.
Okay. If it's a legitimate question, John will make every effort to give
you. I would have answered it from the beginning.
Fair enough, fair enough. Thank you very much. Okay, so what are we going to take on notice? Okay, Debbie Judd. State your name and address, please.
Debbie Judd, Port Perrin Drive, Lowhead. So my question is the Mayor going to apologise to the Georgetown community for stating on ABC Radio Northern Tasmania that Georgetown has the worst health record in the whole of Tasmania? In email sent to me by the Mayor on the 4th of April, he said, sorry for the delay in responding to your email. Indeed, I am human and from time to time will make an error when under pressure from a journalist. Such is the situation when trying to respond to challenging questions without any forewarning. Where I thought I had said some of the worst health outcomes, I apparently said we have the worst health outcomes. I apologise unreservedly for this faux pas. I take my role very seriously and am tremendously proud of our community. Please accept my apologies. I will only wish to represent the best of my ability, albeit poorly on this occasion. When I responded to that email, the Mayor's response was, OK, let me work with my PR team. Let's see what we can do. I intend to follow up with a meaningful apology. I will get back to you. And then the next email said, at the next council meeting, which you thought was the 22nd of April, I will make a formal apology on record. Once again, I apologise for slip of the tongue. Are you going to make that apology?
So, Mr. Judge, thank you very much for the question. Yes, I absolutely do apologise unequivocally to all of our excellent health workers in our community. I think you guys do a fantastic job.
I think you need to apologise to the whole community, not just the health workers.
No, I am actually not going to apologise. I'm going to apologise to our... Hold on. So I'm apologising to our health workers if they took offence. Now, this is confrontational stuff, and understand that it's a difficult thing to hear. However, this is a data-driven, third-party, government-authored report based on the census, the last national census. And I have printed up the results for anybody who would like to see them. And so this is basically within the census. And for the first time, what they've done is they've gone and they've collated the a number of deep-reaching health questions across the nation. And based on that feedback, they have then gone and seeded the health outcomes of each community. And I can say with some disappointment that Georgetown does rate as having the worst health statistics as per the national census in Tasmania. And I have those collated, that collated data as well as the graphs associated with that available for anybody who would like to consume it. As I said, it's not my report, it is the national census data and an independent report that is authored by the Department of State Growth that states that we have the worst health statistics as per the census in Tasmania.
Well, I've spoken to Primary Health Tasmania today, and their data, which is on their Tasmanian Community Health Check, is also from the Bureau of Census. Mm-hmm. And in their data, Georgetown has lower smoking rates than Devonport and Sorrel. We have the lowest vaping rates. We have lower than average, the Tasmanian average of drinking alcohol, 37%. Georgetown is 28%. Meeting the recommended daily vegetable intake, we're better than the Tasmanian average, which is 91%. We are 88%. The eating fruit, we're highest on 62%. So I dispute your data.
Well, it is the census data, and we've taken one step further, which we've actually gone back to the independent research house that that authored this report at the request of the Department of State Health, and they provide us the full data, which again is available here for you to consume and have a look at. And of the 29 different LGAs surveyed in the category of arthritis, asthma, cancer, including remission, dementia, including Alzheimer's, heart disease, kidney disease, lung condition, mental health conditions, stroke, and other long-term health conditions, by composite, Georgetown scores 76.73, the worst in the whole of Tasmania. And you can view all other 29 LGAs. You're putting me in a position. I fundamentally cannot apologize for independent, data-driven research. I am, however, deeply apologetic to any of our health workers who took offense that this was, in fact, the outcome of the report. So that's the best I can offer you on that.
So the emails you sent to me on the 4th of April, you hadn't seen that data because you said that you had...
I didn't have this level of...
So when you made that comment on ABC Radio, you didn't know that?
When I made that condition, that apology, it turns out that it was wholly appropriate and fundamentally correct. I'll make that available to anybody to have a look at. All right. I think that's all three. All right, so that's all of our questions that have been registered. Does anybody else have a question in the gallery today?
Go ahead.
Welcome. Just state your name and address, please.
Fiona Gill, if you don't know me. Okay. Lawrence Street, Georgetown.
Thank you, Fiona.
So I've got a couple of questions, one of my own and one of Lorraine Wooten's because she can't be here today. Still on the swimming pool.
Good.
So now last month when I raised the question of the swimming carnivals in the pool, both you and Councillor Mason dismissed the need to consider this as it was only 11 days a year. Councillor Mason asked why Lindale and other schools closer to Launceston should come to Georgetown to use their have their swimming carnivals here. I think that's an extraordinary attitude to have. when we've seen so much money invested in the infrastructure of the playground in Regent Square, two mountain bike trails, a pump track, rock climbing area, not to mention the sports grounds at Blue Gum Park to encourage people to come to Georgetown. Much of that infrastructure at a cost price to the ratepayers, with very little return. Charges of use of the pool were set at $210 an hour during normal hours of operation and $284 per hour outside normal hours, and I think there's a slide fee as well. Seems a hefty return on a swimming carnival that might only, that a carnival might last up to 5 hours. My question, was every school that used the pool for the swimming carnival in last season charged this rate? How many school swimming carnivals were held and what was the total amount received for the use of the Georgetown pool for these in the past swimming season, October to March?
Thank you very much, Fiona. Do you want to take that on notice? Because I know you've got some of those stats. On notice? Okay. Thank you very much for your question. We'll give you a detailed response, but we'll take that one on notice.
Okay. So this one is from Lorraine. Mayor, at the last meeting, you answered Mr Brown with a geographic description of how the current 25-metre pool in William Street was built. You have a pool that was designed for a lifespan of 50 years. When the original members of this community, and a lot of them, did this on weekends and with their own equipment and not necessarily civil, engineers or experts, good people of the community got together and they decided to build a pool. When they did that, it was the best of their abilities. The desired lifespan of the intended 50 metres was intended to 50 metres. Right, and the pool is only 38 years old. It should have at least another 12 years to go, at least. My question is, where did you get the information about the building of the current pool and was opened at the end of 1986? And did that information in any way influence your decisions on the demolishment plan or other councillors who thought that was true? Because indeed, these facts look at the pool that was in York Cove that was opened in 1936.
Well, I've been extensively briefed by our team on the pool, its history, and again, I commend every member of the community. You know, it's just a fantastic effort. It has served us very, very well. But I just reiterate what I've said all along, which is the condition of the pool has not been the primary thing which we use to determine the best future development outcome for the community. So, yes, it is an aged asset. To my knowledge, I've always used the figure of it is 40 years old, so there seems to be some debate around the actual age. Okay, fine. But it shows that age and its lifespan is very limited.
Okay, I just wanted to ask one more thing. Has anyone been to the pool now it's empty?
Yeah, now that it's emptied. Oh, I don't know, that's closed, isn't it?
And do they agree with your diving technique skill that there's that side the bully?
I can't comment on that.
Just wanted to check. Thanks.
Can't comment on that. It is closed. I can tell you that it has lost a significant volume of water since it's been closed. Oh. Yeah. Maybe. But it's leaking, right? Yeah, quite possibly. Any other questions from the gallery? Yes. Please come forward. Please state your name and address.
My name is Peter Shields of Esplanade North Georgetown.
Welcome.
Right, I attended the pool meetings. I also came to the council last week and asked if they were taped, if there was records, what people were asked. At the meeting I was, there were seven people there. Winston Mason was there. I asked about the school carnival.
Yes.
I was told by not the council representative, but the builder and designer and maker of the pool that was at the meeting, that there is no way you can have a school carnival in that pool. The Oatlands pool is a different design altogether. They have a shallow end and a deep end. They can still have six lanes. This pool can only have three lanes and cannot be used as a carnival pool. The shallow lane can't be used with one person standing up, another diving in, the sloping lane. You can't stand on the sloping lane to take off breaststroke, butterstroke. So from the builders and designers of the pool said, no, the best you can have is a play area for the primary school. And I would have liked that to be recorded at the meeting that I attended. And is that why you had so many little meetings so that nothing could be said and recorded that's public? Now, if it is true you can have six lanes and six people racing, please explain it to me how.
Thank you very much for the question. So through the chair to the Director of Infrastructure and Development, Andrew McCarthy. Andrew, any comments?
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. So the pool that is designed has five 2.5 metre lanes. So that's the
correct
that's being currently designed. What it will be able to be set up though in carnival mode is at 6 2-metre lanes. So
in 6 2-metre lanes, the builder of the thing says still only makes three lanes that are suitable for swimming in the competition. If you've got six people in a lane, in six lanes, having a competition and going for times and race times, one's going to be standing in there because he's in that much water, one's on the slope, somehow holding on, and three are standing there ready to dive in. That is not a competition pool. It is not a standard pool.
Let's give Andrew a chance to give you a good answer.
Right? Well, yeah, so the 2 metre lanes are more than sufficient to have a swimmer in there for a carnival. So the Oakland pool, for instance, that has 2 metre lanes in general. That is 6 2-metre lanes. What we're proposing is 5 2.5, because 2.5 for the majority of the time provides a more wider lane for people to be able to pass up and back, because generally you'd have a slow, medium and fast lane. In relation to the carnivals, because you only have one person in a lane, 2 metres is well and truly wide enough to be able to accommodate. As is stated before, like the LSSSA, the carnivals, the kids start in the pool, they don't dive. So this particular pool will have, in the deep lane, the 1.5 litre lane will have a diving board, a diving block at either end. But the actual carnivals will start in the water as they do currently at LSSSA.
So which is the LSSSA?
So that's the local school carnival competition. So when all the representatives, so I think it's the top two from each of the schools, go through into the regional finals, so they start in within the water at the Riverside Pool.
At the Riverside Pool, which is 33 metres.
Correct, but they start in the pool, so they don't dive in.
Is there a reason? How do they start butterfly in the pool? You're standing there and you're trying to start butterfly. It's impossible to
push
start
off.
Butterfly in a pool. And swimming carnivals normally have more than two people that want to swim carnivals.
Not in the one lane, they don't, no.
No, not in the one lane, but Riverside's got 6 or 8 lanes with a DB.
We'll have 6 lanes. But
We won't have 6 lanes with a deep end, though, will we?
We're getting a little bit out of order here, so remember the pathway I said to you, like, a couple of questions, let's get the guy a fair chance.
Well,
just give everybody a fair chance, we're trying to give you a good answer here.
As I said, they'll start in the water. And the reason that they don't dive now is because the skills with the risk assessment that the education department do is the kids just don't have the skills or the training to be able to dive safely.
So if children have been going through all through their swimming lessons, all through their diving, they get to the stage they're doing a race for butterfly, they've got to stand in the shallow end and try and take off with butterfly and get times and different things. And don't tell me butterfly start in the pool
because
they don't.
Hang on a second. Let's just be fair and objective here. So this has been widely circulated and consulted with the Department of Education. We actually have the person who runs all of the swim programs in the north, I understand. She lives in our municipality. She's across it. She's endorsed the design as being, you know, a great design. She's super happy with it. We've been to Oakland to have a look at how their pool functions at a swim carnival. Again, widely acclaimed that it does the job well.
It does.
So I understand you have a difference of opinion, but everything that we've heard...
My difference of opinion is also a difference of pool.
Yes,
their pool is 6 metres wide with a deep end.
Okay.
Every car, every lane of the deep end, everyone's equal in that race. There's not, you can't have a race where one's standing up and one's in deep water and light water. And if you can't have carnivals, we've got here. Most frequently asked questions, school carnivals. Yes, the 25-metre pool will be able to configure 6 by 2 metre to support carnival competitions.
Yes,
so you cannot have a competition in a shallow pool.
That is incorrect.
And you can't have more than 3 people swimming in a competition unless they're unfairly timed. You can't have someone timed in a thing, shallow end and someone timed in the deep end.
Look, I understand that it's different, but that's very much not the feedback we've received. So, what the man is saying.
I'd like to race you in the shallow end and you go in the deep end. I mean, it's a joke. And finally,
please. This is your final question.
I just want to make sure everyone gets
a fair chance.
Right.
So, just for the record, just so that we're unequivocal about this, yes, we will be able to host swim carnivals. Yes, we have consulted with the Department of Education, and yes, you've been given an answer that according to what's in something AAA or whatever.
L-triple-S-A.
Compliance. All right.
We'll check that.
You've given an unequivocal answer.
Right. So I'll move on. I'll walk off. If it is proven that it's not suitable for 6 lanes racing timing, there will be a poverty, obviously, over the air, as you've said, there is 6 lanes, you can do carnivals and everything. If it's proven it isn't, there will be a poverty, I gather, coming. But when are you going to be honest with the Georgetown public and say straight to their face that you're closing the pool, you haven't got any money for the any further than the $17.5 million, we're not going to move it because we don't want to. You could move it, you could redesign it around what's there, and there'll be no slides, there'll be no medium pool, no mushroom pool, and no outdoor pool forever, because you have not got in your money or allocated it anywhere for anything other than a few sprinklers on a mat as a splash pool. And you're telling everyone, section 2, section 3, they're not there.
All right, let me be very, very clear.
They're not funded.
So, I don't know how we could have done this more, but...
you could have. You've moved the number 25 metres.
Okay, I'm trying to give you an answer here. We have the funds. To the best of our knowledge, we're still waiting on final contract prices to come back. We have the funds to deliver phase one, which is the indoor facility that contains the 2 swimming pools, the 25-litre swimming pool, as well as the heated program pool, as well as the gymnasium and allied health services. That, to the best of our knowledge, is funded. And that is, we're just waiting on the process to resolve. We've been unequivocal that phase 2, which is the splash pad, which we're about to start consultation on, and phase 3, an outdoor swimming pool, is unfunded at this stage. So that's the blunt truth. We just don't have money at this. However, we have on many occasions raised funding from external sources for these type of capital projects. And we have started that journey. That's the only answer I can give you.
With the 25-metre pool that's already there...
I think we...
25-metre pool that's there, the slide and everything, it's not condemned, it's not in disarray, all the things are. If you could move your $17.5 million to 25 metres the other side of it and around it, and there's plenty of area, you can save everything till you are fully funded.
Thank you very much for your questions. I do appreciate it. Thank you. Are there any other speakers in the gallery today? Any questions from the gallery? Yes, please come up. State your name and address, please.
Chelsea Crawford Coates, Turkett Avenue. I had a look at the agenda before I come today. And it says something about the Georgetown Safety Group Committee. Has that been established?
No, it has not been established as of yet. I think there are expressions of interest asked. Just correct me if I'm wrong. Are there expressions of interest for members to participate? Is that closed now? It's closed. Okay. Not the safety, the health and wellness.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, through me. Correct me. Sorry, I thought that you meant
the health and wellbeing committee.
No. I'm saying the safety group.
No, that's been disbanded. Yeah. That's been disbanded.
Some time ago.
The intention being that the health and wellness committee, in line with the state's health and wellness directive, will take its place.
Okay. My next question is the Saxon Solve app still running?
It's not our app, it's a third party app, so let me just explain how that works. So it's a totally and utterly private app developer, and basically what he does is he or she has got a business. If you've downloaded the app, you can take a photo and you send it to council, and then they charge us a fee to retrieve those requests. So our strong preference is not to use it, because we have to pay for a service that effectively members of our community can just come straight to the front desk, make a phone call, or go out to our website and fill in a service request. So please don't use that if you don't mind.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
There's nobody else queuing up that I'm aware of, unless somebody else is, but I think we're good.
My next one is about feral cats and implementing the cats indoors, like rule kind of thing.
Yes.
Can we look into getting an organisation or funding to help with the feral cats around the town?
Oh, yes.
Because I know there's a few different areas that have feral cats in them. I've recently tried to trap one out Roadhead, but that didn't work. I've got some other cats. So I had to let go.
Can I answer that if you don't mind?
Yes.
So I'm really, really... Chris, you want to come up and very quickly talk about this? So this is an area where we've done quite groundbreaking work. So the way that the animal management framework from state government works is basically there's a big hole in the legislation that nobody really has to own up to. So we actually have set aside a budget in the Georgetown Council annual operating budget. We have a feral cats program, which we have now run for a year. Do you want to give us a brief synopsis through the chair to Rick Dunn?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, two parts to the program. One is around microchipping and de-sexing, so the cats that are stray or domestic but still roam, there's an opportunity for residents to have those de-sexed and microchipped free of charge. That's been very successful over the last 6 months. Accompanying that is a trapping program. We have to undertake that program at certain times of the year to avoid the breeding seasons. That involves the declaration of areas where organisations like council can undertake feral cat trapping. We're about to declare two areas within Georgetown, one around the depot and one around the refuse disposal site, where we'll be able to undertake trapping under supervision. And we're also working with the Lowhead community and the Parks and Wildlife Service to ensure that areas around the Lowhead area are protected from feral cats through a potential trapping program up there. So we are doing work in that space. We have got limited powers under legislation, but we're doing everything that we can within the confines of the legislation.
Can we put out that, so the public can do some trapping on the places that are not on breeding season? Because I know there's a few different areas out Lowhead and around, the sporting complex that have a lot of feral animals, but just cuts can't take them, and, you guys don't have any facilities to take them either.
So, if I may, just very quickly, so it's very much our intention to try to take on a little bit more each year. It's a bit of a tricky area, cats in general. People get very, very emotional about it, and so we've sort of taken little steps here within our budget. We don't want to overreach too soon. So I would say if anybody from the public has noticed any feral cats in an area, please report them to council. It helps us to monitor the hotspots, And then if we see it happen, then we can declare those as the hotspots for the next year's activity. So that would be very helpful to us.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your question. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? Jenny?
Afternoon. Jennifer Baxter, Baxter's Road, Pipers River. I understand Pipers River Road is state growth, and but I don't know whether council have the ability to notify State Growth or Fulton Hogan, who was spraying there today with no dye in their truck. And I bring this at the council. When they spray, could they, or when they employ the contractor to spray, that it's always dyed, please?
That's a great suggestion.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Jenny. Shane, do you want to just say anything about that? It's a great suggestion. Yeah. Thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you.
We'll provide you feedback. All right. If there are no more questions, we'll move forward with our agenda today. Thank you very much to everybody. For those who had a question on notice, we'll provide your response as soon as we possibly can.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on, I'd like to move a motion now, if I may.
Yes, you may.
I'd like to move that this council request that the demolition and reconstruction of the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Centre project be returned to the May Council meeting to reassess the costs and affordability of the complex prior to commencement of any works.
Let's give Louise a chance to time this up.
What are you looking for, Mr. Mayor?
Wait for Louise to talk.
Okay.
If you can have a look at the screen, please, and just confirm.
I haven't got the copy, so I have it been written up.
Can you see it?
Okay. Read that again.
Okay, do
you want
to read it?
You read it.
I'll read it, please.
Okay.
By Councillor Barge, does this council request that the demolition and reconstruction of the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Centre project be returned to the May Council meeting to reassess the costs and affordability of the complex prior to the commencement of any work?
I didn't have B in there. I had prior to commencement of any work.
Okay, I think that's substantially what they're close enough.
Yeah, that's it. You put that in there. That's fine.
Okay, so I'll note the motion. Okay, councillors, you've seen Councillor Barwick's motion. Can I call for a seconder, please? Councillor Lowe is our seconder. Councillor Barwick, take it away.
Mr. Chairman, The community have spoken very loudly about how council went about this project. Today, we again have had more questions than concerns. And some of the content that's in our agenda, and there's an item in our agenda, doesn't, it's a statement of what our grant tied up says doesn't match up with the information that's been given to the community at Stephen's sessions they've had. I feel that we as a council need to know what is really right and what is not right because of the different insinuations that are made. This is an asset that council has to maintain and depreciate for the rest of its life. And the entire discussion on the complex itself was always done in either a closed session or at closed workshops. And we again today heard the issue and the concerns about schools coming. So that to me, we need to sit down and have a real good talk as a council about the issues there. We need to bring, we need to hear about the costings. We've got one lot of costings, but we've still got other costings that have still got to come back in, and we've got it sitting on our website that it's going to cost us $20 million sitting on the website, but we don't have that amount of money at the moment. There's a lot of things that I think we need to discuss to see where maybe we can save some money, even with the demolition of the item. It's gone. It is going to be demolished from what has gone through the hearing. With what we can save out of the stuff that's been demolished, you know, can we help make some money that can go back into the complex or be done for other things? I just feel that we need to bring it back to the table so that we can discuss a bit more about where we are and then go out to talk to the community with the honesty that we need to do.
Thank you, Councillor Bullock. To our seconder, Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So I just wanted to understand what Councillor Barwick had to say, and I can appreciate that we don't have full costings yet, so you'd want to make sure that the asset was still intact. We don't know what could happen in the future, so I just think that, yeah, we could wait till May and have some further discussion.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions raised? Councillor Dawson.
Speaker Gayson, I suppose it's around the comments that Councillor Barwick insinuated that it's not what we've already been doing. We've been doing this since the grant was actually put to council. We've gone through this process right from the start till now. We originally costed the project pre-COVID at around $20 to $22 million. We were given $15 million, and then state topped it up by 2.5. Council officers and council lawyers have gone through the process of looking at what designs have been put to us. We've had a number of different designs, and what we've found is that the brand new pool, the outdoor pool that we wanted to have, is unaffordable. So we've trimmed that out of the project. We all know that. I think to say that we need to bring it back to the table and look at the affordability and the cost, we know what they are. And as soon as those costings come in, that's the decision for us to make, whether it's made at the table, enclosed or open, there's no here nor there, but we know that it's not going to happen in March. We won't have that information by then.
Just point of order, members of the gallery, if I could ask you, please, no commentary whatsoever. Councillor Dawson, thank you. Councillor Orr?
Question, have we awarded any, a contract?
contract for the demolition of the existing centre?
Well, we haven't awarded it, but we've approved it.
We've approved it?
Yeah.
So the date hasn't been set at this stage?
Nope.
The second question is regarding the motion regarding assessing the cost on 4B. Will we have those in May? Anyway, so I'm a bit confused for what this motion's about then if we haven't started a set date to start the demolition yet and we haven't got the final costing yet, so I don't understand the motion.
Correct. So just to confirm, the final cost we're anticipating in July, that's the June. So yes, you're correct on both counts. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Archer.
Thank you. I sort of think there's probably some merit to this. Early on in this process, I feel like I wasn't even a passenger or sort of like a bystander with a blindfold on as to some of the things that were happening. Just recently I've heard rumour and no staff have said it to me in my face, but it's come back round through the public that council was intending to put ratepayers' money in, or their staff have got the intention of putting ratepayers' money into this facility. How much truth there is to that, I don't know, but if that is happening, I would like these things to be up front with councillors at least, and of course the public. I can't say that this would be an impediment to this motion would be an impediment to the project. So I think I'll support it.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anybody else want to speak to the motion?
Only question.
Questions?
Do we already have a motion on the books that describes that if there's any further input of costs that it needs to go back to a public meeting, or not so much a public meeting, but to a council meeting for approval? That's already on the books, yes?
Yes, indeed you do. So I think the motion read that there's an absolute ceiling of $17.5 million, and any additional spend has to come back for approval by the Georgetown Council, something to that level.
Another question?
Yes.
Can I move that motion?
Councillor Archer, seconded by Councillor Barwick. Thank you. Councillor Ashley, did you have a question? No question. No participation from the audience. None whatsoever.
No, I was just going to say Councillor Archer has already moved that motion.
Thank you very much.
And that we should spend no more than the amount and it's been accepted.
Good. Any other questions, Councillor Lowe?
No, I've spoken to the motion.
You may ask the question, but you may not speak to the motion.
Try and word it into a question.
Good
idea. Did I hear right that Councillor Orr asked if we've had a contract in place? That's the question part. I'm just trying to understand. I can't see the problem coming back and having those conversations. My concerns stem around the demolition. So I just want to make sure that this council, we don't have to ask questions and know in public council if we've got things on track in certain areas, because we need to know, and in order to know you have to have conversations, and sometimes you cannot get that from an email. I think it's good to sit around the table. Everyone knows where my concerns lay with wastage, and I would like to make sure that before the demolition happens that this council's had a conversation around what the removal of the waste is, or anything further with regards to on selling, giving away, gifting, anything that's suitable in the demolition. So I just think it wouldn't hurt to have a conversation. I understand that the costings wouldn't be available in May, so it's not so much around the reconstruction, but definitely coming together again and having a conversation I don't think would hurt.
I thought we'd break it into two parts and ask the General Manager to respond firstly to the process around where we stand with the contractual piece with the demolition, and secondly about the materials that might come out of a potential demolition.
I think, Mr. Mayor, through you, I'll provide a broad overview, and if we need to get into any further technical detail, I'll defer to our Director of Infrastructure and Development. We have not awarded a contract for demolition. In fact, the workshop today, officers reconfirmed their intent to come back with firm prices prior to the award of any demolition, as discussed today, and that is still the intent of officers. So the process from here is that the council will be presented with the highest, a set of costs that provide for us at the highest level of confidence we could possibly hope for prior to commencement of any works, including demolition.
Anything you want to add to that? No, sounds good to me. And then the second part is about the recycling of any materials that potentially could come out of the existing site.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for you. The director and myself and some contractors will make a tour of the site and get some advice on what can practically be salvaged and then whatever the items they may be, whether it be plant and equipment, it might be auxiliary furniture, I'm not sure yet. We will then work out what an appropriate procurement process or auction process might be.
I'll speak very, very briefly to this motion in my capacity as a councillor. So, similar to Councillor Dawson, I won't be supporting this motion because I think, you know, you're putting the horse before the cart, if I may. And you, right from the get-go, we've informed our council staff that this is the available budget. They are to design and contractually deliver the project for the budget which we've assigned for the project. We've been well informed throughout the whole journey of the various different steps towards getting to a final fixed cost contracted price. I think we're close to 70% completion today. But you simply cannot make an informed decision in any capacity until those reports are returned, and for that reason alone, I won't be supporting this motion. You may, of course you may. Well, sorry, ask you there's a question you could. If you asked a question, you could make a comment.
Last time I tried to do that, it didn't go well. Okay. Can I please make an apology? That'd be my question. Can I?
Sure. I think you're pushing your luck. Here you go. Let's give you a little
bit. Well, I just want to apologise to Councillor Orr because he asked a question for clarification and I used that as a platform to ask my questions, and when I played it back to myself, I didn't like the way it sounded, so I wanted to apologise for jumping on Jason for asking the question. So
we will allow that in its fullest. No problem at all. All right, Councillor Ashley, and then we'll hand it back to our movers close.
I would just like to ask a question. Is motion 128-23 that was on the 26th of December 2023 in regard to the Aquatic Centre put forth by Councillor Archer, if that motion is still on the books and acceptable?
Through the Chair to the General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it is still a live and active motion for Council.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Barr, to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's funny how things just twisted around a bit. If I had not have quoted that it was to, my motion was about the health and wellbeing project. Well, that's because as soon as I mentioned the demolition, and I'm quoting what's already gone through council, I am really asking and wanting this to come back to the table so we as a council can sit and talk about the things that we need and remember, I dare I say it, that this is my words and how I feel. We were gagged the whole way through this process. And why I say that is because everything was in closed workshops. They were in closed meetings. And you sit here and say we were all informed. Of course we were. But we weren't allowed to go out and talk about it. Right? And there's all these things that have happened and come up now and things that we need to sit down and discuss. I know you haven't got lots of costs. I know they come. It's the other issues that we can look at. We can look at what is it going to cost us as a community to have this swimming pool each year. It's just so many things that we need to sit down and see if we can do some things that's in that plan that's already gone through. We can do a little bit better because you still are looking for prizes. That's all I'm saying. And I'm sorry I had to use the name of what the project was, but that's not what I'm wanting to do. I want us to sit around and think that we're talking to each one of these people in our community, get the answers, and then go back and say to them, well, this is where it's at, and this is the answer to that question, and be out there and be able to do it, not behind closed doors.
Thank you, Councillor Bowers. Okay, for Councillor... Okay, Councillor, so you are voting now on the motion before you that this council requests that the demolition and reconstruction of the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Centre project be returned to the May Council meeting to reassess the costs and affordability of the complex prior to commencement of any works. That's what you are voting on. All of those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
We have Councillor Barwick, we have Councillor Archer. All those against, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson. The motion is defeated by 2-7. All right, item 6 is the General Manager's Declaration. Questions from previous, you're just noting the fiscal responses. Thank you, Andrew. Just noting the responses provided to previous questions on notice. That takes us to section 6, the General Manager's Declaration. Over to you, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do want to bring to the attention of Council and the Gallery a couple of items. First of all, item 9.1, there is an amendment to the officer's recommendation. That amendment has been circulated to all elected members by way of hard copy and to the executive support and governance officer, who will present that on the screen when we get to that item within the agenda. And there are hard copies available as well at the door on the table for members of the gallery. Essentially, what it does is request that it stays in line with the original recommendation, but it includes a change to the scope within that policy that deals with the events. Sorry, it deals with the temporary signage on council land, and specifically the amendment calls for consideration of temporary event signage to be dealt with underneath the application.
And then the other one I want to point to is that we will now be adding 3.2.
Yes, so
the late item.
Yes, so the open agenda or the public agenda when it deals with the closed section of council on page 54 immediately have the agenda item considered and closed for legal expenditure. It is in the closed agenda with the report. It's just the on page 54 of the open agenda, we don't mention it.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. Section 7, Planning Authority. I think it's the first time in many, many months where we have nil. Section 8, Office of the General Manager, item 8.1 is to acknowledge the Council workshops, contents and attendance of councillors during March and April. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason.
Just received a report. Thank you for that. Into March 25th and the 8th of April and 15th of April. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Ashley.
I concur with Councillor Mason.
Thank you. I'll open the floor to any speakers for or against or questions. Looks like a formality. We'll put that one straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Are we unanimous? I think we're unanimous. Thank you. That leads us to item 8.1. 22. So for the benefit of the gallery, from time to time we look down through all of the motions that we carry on our book and we report the progress against those different motions, and every now and then we flush them out and we remove them from our register of outstanding items when they have in fact been addressed. You will notice that on page 20, starting on page 26, there are a list of various different items that are now completed. That runs all the way through to the bottom of page 36. The recommendations details those specific ones that will now be removed from our outstanding motions register. Can I call for a mover? I didn't see you. But Councillor Orr, sorry, thank you very much. My head was down. Seconded by Councillor Mason. Was it Councillor Mason or
Mason?
Okay. Sorry, head down. Councillor Orr, take it away.
So I thought I'll move this motion because I did defer it to from the last meeting to a council workshop. So it's now been the council workshop twice, council meeting twice now. I think we've workshopped it extensively and I'm happy to move the motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I agree with Councillor Orr. There are received a report and there are 34 of them to be removed.
Thank you kindly. I'll open to the floor. Any speakers for or against, noting that this was extensively workshop?
I spoke against some of these things, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. I heard Chancellor will say that we've discussed these at times. The funny thing, on the last agenda in white, got held to come back again to the table, was all to do with motion. The question why it came back was to do with motion 0623 that was to be rescinded. I noticed that it's been left on the agenda this month and staying in, so I'm glad it's staying in there. And that was a motion that I put forward. And the other motion that I think that should stay in there is on page 36, which is 1824, the draft advocacy plan and NTDC regional priority project. It says completed, but I believe that adoption and endorse the Georgetown Advocacy Plan. I mean, you can take that out if you want that, but as far as the general manager is to ensure that up-to-date project meetings are maintained and costings done, that's an ongoing thing. So, to me, I think it should stay there because it can get lost, things can be done, and we won't know about it if you get busy or whatever. The general manager is to forward up-to-date project costings to NTDC and other interested parties as they develop. Well, to me, they should come to us prior to going to NTDC, because if we're not happy, we don't want them to take this off the books and I don't believe we should take it off the book. It should stay there. Also, I noticed that you've got 1923, which is the Calamari Trail upgrade. That's to come off. There's still a lot of work happening with that. And I'm wondering, and we're asking for grants on that. We're talking about different work to be done where it says future work will complete a fully accessible path, which is further work. So can you give me, is it all completed?
Well, through you, Mr. Chair, no, that motion has been satisfied and that construction work has been completed, yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, then I'll take that one back. But they're the things that I feel that we should not be voting off on the question of. Thank you for reading 0620.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Thank you very much. Any other speakers?
Just a question through the chair to Councillor Barwick.
Of course, yes.
The first motion you mentioned, can you refer to what page and motion number again? I missed the number.
So 0623 on page 34 in the middle. It's the new and renewed lease arrangement. Is that correct?
Sorry?
The new and renewed lease arrangement. 0623, that was the one you mentioned first.
Yes,
623.
Page 34.
On 34, the middle.
And I think that's actually a motion that I had on the books when I was in the hospital, and was a big debate that I wasn't here by Councillor Archer saying it should have been left on, yeah. And it's
got through. It is ongoing, correct.
Ongoing.
Well, it's actually written. It says ongoing.
Hang on. Last time meeting, it says delete.
Okay. Remember, you're voting on what you've come to
do
today.
It says delete 0623 notice of motion, and it also said delete councillor excuses. Which I have a big problem with taking out the council or expenses. But I don't think that's
through you, Mr. Chair, I think what Councillor Barwick is referring to is exactly what the intent of this item being deferred was all about. So those items have been discussed and those items have now remain on the outstanding motions register. That has been achieved.
Thank you. I think that was the content of the workshop, correct? All right, any other speakers? Otherwise, I'll hand it back to Councillor Orr to close. Councillor Orr to close.
Let's go to the aide for the motion.
Thank you. Let's put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyes, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson against Councillor Barwick. Motion is carried by 8-1. Section 9 is infrastructure and development, and the long-awaited 9.1 private signage on council land policy.
I'm moving a motion, a 9.2 after this.
Yeah, you go for it. Just do that first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I mentioned at the earlier on in the agenda, at the General Manager's Declaration section, this is the report I was referring to, where the Office's recommendation now has an amendment. As I mentioned earlier, each elected member has a hard copy of that amended motion from the recommendation. Members of the gallery have access to that at the table on the entry, and our executive support and governance officer has now incorporated that into the body of the report. So, councillors, when you are considering the Office's recommendation, you are now considering 4 points. As opposed to the original three, with the first, as it reads on the screen.
All right, can I call for a mover, please? Ask one more time, can I call for a mover? Councillor Lowe is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Lowe, take it away, please.
Yes, thank you. So obviously a lot of work's gone into this and it's multifold. I feel that the aim is to ensure that everyone has equal access and safety taken into consideration, and with regards to signage in the central business area and outskirts. I understand that there were some concerns around people not being able to express themselves, their business, through different sorts of signage. I feel this is a good step to start that process. The policy can be reviewed at some point in time, but it was just around ensuring that we started somewhere, and signage on its own is a great start, then outdoor seating and any other concerns that may flow from our streets from having bulk on them, be it signs or furniture or plants, etc. So I'm happy with the amended motion to include the events to by case by case if there are some additional signage temporary to be in the whole municipal area. I've got no concerns, so thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Ashley.
I feel we discussed it quite intensely this morning at our workshop, and we've got a pretty good understanding now of what's required from what we've got here, our policy, and I agree with what Councillor said.
All right, okay. Well, we can make this really simple. I'll open the speakers for or against. We have workshopped this policy and discussed it extensively, including this morning. Any other questions from anyone? Councillor Orr?
So I believe we've been workshopped twice and went to community consultation as well. Took a bit of a walk during lunchtime and did notice a few signage in the street, in the main street, that wouldn't apply. And one of those signs is probably even a council sign. would it be possible later on, will businesses be able to apply for some sort of grant because of the cost of the business to upgrade their signs? Is there a process through the council we do offer grants for years, something through maybe the grants by the chamber or something like that?
It's a great question through the chair. Let's start with Shane and see if he can handball it to Justin. Just repeat the question quickly, Jeff.
Would there be opportunities through our grant process, is there an opportunity for businesses to apply through our grant process for to upgrade their signage? Or maybe like the chamber is putting in for a larger grant to be distributed through businesses. I know there's community grants, but business grants is a little bit different.
Correct. Yes. So we have community grants. We now have our Director of Corporate Community Services coming over.
who is really stirred the hornet's nest.
Who is the fortunate officer of council to be responsible for the delivery of that one.
Here we go.
Through the Mayor, thank you, Councillor Orr. So currently the community assistance grants aren't open to businesses. However, it could be something that we might discuss as a budget item in the coming budget. Is that something Council would like to consider?
Well done.
Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. Good question, Councillor Orr. Any other questions? Let's put it to the vote. Let's get on with it. All right. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Wow, unanimous, straight up. Thank you. And just want to commend Justin on a lengthy and patient process. Well done, sir. Well done. Okay, Councillor Barwick, I understand you wanted to move another motion, or is it a foreshadowed motion on 9.1?
I would like to move that item 2.1, stormwater drainage plan for Beechford, listed to be discussed in closed session, be moved into open session under item 0.90, infrastructure and development.
Okay. So roughly speaking, it's to move item 2.1, that's the stormwater plan for Beechford, being moved to open for the public.
Yeah, I don't need to go through it.
But let's type it up first, and let's just make sure that you are in agreement that that is accurately reflected in the minutes. I'll give Louise a moment to tickle the ivories. And our last standing member of the gallery, just noting your attendance there, Grant. Thank you, Inspector. All right, so let's quickly just go back to the... So Councillor Barwick's motion is that Council move item 2.1, stormwater drainage plan for Beechford, listed to be discussed in closed, which is moved to open under item 9.1 infrastructure and development. Is that close enough? All right, fantastic. Okay, is there a seconder for Councillor Barwick's motion? Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. I don't need you to go through.
Microphone, please.
I've just turned it off, actually. I don't want to go back through the reasons that I don't believe this fits in going into closed session. When you look at all the dots, I can't read them out because legally it's still a closed session item. All the dot points that are there do not match and come up to the credibility of being in closed session. Some of them maybe I can, where are we? Again, it says that, I'll find if it's the right way. And I don't believe it justifies under section 15.2. The five dot points are assumptions, and I can't say them, and the issue of the last statement really is irrelevant if you look at that, because this is something that we should be able to go out there and do our jobs. The staff do their jobs, whoever we employ to do the job for the council, do their job, but it to be open so that if there are any questions, people can ask questions. If the council also asks questions about where are we at and what's going on, and I mean, it's a 5-year project. And so for 5 years, no one can talk about what's happening because it's closed session. And to me, what's written in that document doesn't have figures or things that need to hide. It is just doing what we set out to do when this big subdivision all started up, and I just think as a matter of just being out and honest and putting it out there.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Councillor Mason.
Councillor Barwick has articulated the motion very well, and I urge your councillors to support the motion. Thank you.
With that, I'll open to two speakers on the floor. For or against, or questions?
I did analyse this in workshop this morning. Concern is now is that it would have been nice having the open agenda for the community of that area to set an agenda and have the opportunity to come to today, council, and ask questions as public gallery. That hasn't happened, might happen now, so I'm just a bit disappointed in that aspect. So I'm mindful now that if this recognition goes through, the report's going to be released anyway, if it goes through. And I think it might be better for now the council to go out to that community and explain the full report to them then and just read it on the in the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll speak myself briefly to this meeting. So noting Councillor Orr's observations, my personal preference is twofold. Firstly, that we discuss this report with the Beechwood community first. Don't necessarily think that having it in the public eye prior to it being revealed to the Beechwood community is necessarily good form or in the interest of our wider community. And then secondly, you know, there's pretty good examples, living examples, where when you do area storm mapping and that information is released into the general wild, that it can affect individual property holders directly, unintentionally, because that becomes a referenceable information. I was going to be really careful with what I'm saying. But I won't be supporting it for that reason. I don't want to necessarily disadvantage any members of my community, and I think that it would be best to speak to the Beechwood community first. So I won't support it. Anyone else? Councillor Archer.
This is a great motion to have this in public. This is all it does is mirror what the residents of Beechwood see in their own township, in their own village. It's not. There's no great issue there with that we've been withholding something from them. I think it's more of an issue if we are withholding it for a period. We're aware of this stuff and we don't disclose it to them, to the public, as soon as we're aware of it. We've been aware of it long enough. I think it is our responsibility to make the residents aware of it. That said, there's nothing in there that's of a particular concern, outrageous. It's just some mapping which shows where water lies when it's wet. This sort of thing should just be a matter of the course, public sort of proceeding, you really are sort of clutching at straws, trying to find a reason for that to be a confidential matter that needs to be done in closed session. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anyone else? I'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Pollock, to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did hear you say at the workshop that you would go out and talk to the community. Sorry? At the roadshow on this issue. To me, we are councillors that work for the entire community. If we know in closed session what's going on, and then you go out at a workshop, outside to the roadshow, and talk about it, you are out there promoting something that we are not allowed to go out and promote and talk to the community. I have a problem with that because my job, and if this is all councillors' jobs, are to communicate with the community. And if it doesn't fit in with going into closed session, we should not, by the Act, go against what the Act rules. And that's all I'll say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. With that, we'll put that to the vote. You're voting on the motion before you that says that Council move item 2.1, Stormwater Drainage Plan for Beechwood, listed to be discussed in closed, but move into open session under item 9.1, Infrastructure and Development. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. We have Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris and Councillor Lowe. All those opposed, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson. So the motion is carried 5-4. All right, so it is now 9 point. So we are in. So we've got to move that now into 9.2, actually.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if we could give Executive Support Governance Officer.
Should we take a 5-minute recess?
I probably don't need five, but so just to confirm through you, Mr. Mayor, that the item will now form 9.2 of the agenda.
Well, 9.2 was the motion to move it to open.
9.2 was the motion, so no, 9.3, within the agenda, underneath the infrastructure and development section. If you can bring that forward.
So sorry, Louise, I think you've got that one. So that one was carried 5-4. Confirming, Councillor Harris, how you voted. Did you vote for or against?
Four.
Four, thank you. So just remove Councillor Harris from against and you put him in four. Carry 5-4. And there we go, you got it. Okay, fantastic. And now 9.3 becomes what was item. Was item 2.1 enclosed? Alright, so item 9.3, and for those councillors who are looking at the agenda pack previously published for close, this is the item on item 2.1, page 11, but will now be referred to as item 9.3, is effectively stormwater drainage plan. This is a long-term drainage plan for Beechford that shows the structural improvement report and how we basically plan to be to address the long-term drainage of the Beechwood community. This is a long-term recommendation and implementation plan that will enhance the resilience of Beechwood's drainage network and better position the township to accommodate future growth and adapt to climate-related challenges. Attached to that is the collective consulting engineering report for your perusal. Can I call for a mover for what is now item 9.3?
So moved.
Councillor Dawson is our mover, seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Dawson. Councillor Orr is the mover.
Dawson. I never put my hand up for anything.
So you're the mover. Okay, got it. Woo! Councillor Orr is the mover. Councillor Dawson is the seconder.
No, he's not.
What happened there?
I said nothing.
So you didn't, you're not a mover, you're another nothing. Okay. All right, so let's do this one more time. Who's our mover? Councillor Orr is our mover. Can I call for a seconder, please? Councillor Mason, thank you. Councillor Orr, as mover, take it away.
As I spoke before, it would have been great to see this out in the public agenda initially, and for the local Beechwood community, we've had opportunity to come and ask some questions today. That wasn't the case. So this is an ongoing coastal area drainage assessment. We've done an overall approach for all the communities, and now we've done a deep dive into the Beechwood area according to the township character plans. I look forward to doing more of this throughout the other coastal villages. So move the motion. Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
This motion has been well discussed and well received. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. I'll open it up to speakers for, against, or questions.
I'd like to make, Mr. Chairman, we are going to be looking at drainage in all these coastal areas, and I think that this now sets out the precedent. Thank you. For all these communities that we do it openly and give the people then the chance to come ask questions at a council table.
instead of going into closed session.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Anybody else? Councillor Dawson?
I'll just read out some of the officers' comments here, and it's basically from an operational perspective, the beach and stormwater infrastructure improvement report is a valuable planning tool to shift council's approach from reactive ad hoc drainage works to a strategic evidence-based investment framework. The long-term implementing the recommendation of this report will enhance the resilience of beach's drainage network and better position the township to accommodate future growth and adapt to climate-related challenges.
Thank you very much. I'll speak very briefly to this myself. So I think all of us here have, over the last number of years, particularly when in those wetter years, been engaged by members of the Beechwood community. I think there's no mystery that the drainage has been a long-term issue. So I'm particularly pleased to see this report and particularly pleased to have been in attendance when the engineers and consultants presented their long-term approach to how to address the drainage in the Beechwood community, as well as the prioritisation, so that we aren't chasing our tail. We do this in an incremental measures and an annual approach, so that in the long term we finally have a good drainage outcome for the Beechwood community. So I commend the report and have no hesitation in supporting it. Anybody else? Councillor Orr to close.
No, question.
Question.
So second part of the one of the was to report and authorise the new manager to make a public document. That's what happened now. Just through the needs of the general manager, what's the next step to have this information passed on to the Beechwood community?
Through the chair to the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, as you've rightly pointed out, the motion called for it to become a public document. It doesn't specify a time frame. So there is some discretion there. As the Mayor has pointed out previously, it might be worth discussing directly with Beechwood in the first instance before making it available to the broader public.
Just a question through the Chair, the General Manager. Just on the topic that you just discussed, the options as it was presented in the report spoke of two options. One was support the officer's recommendation as presented, or to accept the breach of stormwater infrastructure improvement report and authorise the GM to make it a public document. But what's resolved up here, or when it's resolved, will be accept the breach of stormwater infrastructure improvement report, but it doesn't say to make it a public document. But I suppose my confusion around that is,
well, through the chair, it
has already been.
It's essentially public now because it's been published. It'll be going into the form part of the minutes and all the rest of it. So, how broadly we engage through the promotion of that is something that we can discuss. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We're unanimous. Thank you very much. So number three, unanimous. That takes us to Section 10, Corporate and Community. 10.1 is the Community Assistance Policy. Welcome back to our Director of Corporate and Community. This is effectively a periodic renewal of one of our policy documents. It has received some minor amendments following workshopping and consultation with your council. The recommendation is to adopt amended GTC 11 Community Assistance Policy. Can I call for a mover, please?
Yes.
Councillor Mason, with a resounding yes, seconded by Councillor Lowe as our seconder. Councillor Mason.
The other recommendation is that council adopt and amend the Georgetown Council 11 Community Assistance Policy, and I support that motion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lowe.
Thanks, no, I have nothing further to add or ask.
Thank you. Any speakers for or against the questions? Councillor Archer.
Probably a question. Has staff received advice in regards to section 8.1 in the policy, assistance to individuals, and the applicants must be under 25 years of age. Does that comply with anti-discrimination legislation?
Through the chair to the general manager in the first instance.
Yeah, I just first instance, I'm not aware of any advice that's been sought. You know, we have youth policies and youth programs that are targeted to certain segments of the community. Whilst this isn't specific, I think it doesn't explicitly say that I think the intent was to support the younger section of the community. I'd be happy to get to seek some advice if that's what council's direction is, but I'd be pretty comfortable that it wouldn't be a discrimination issue.
If I may, Councillor Archer, are you done? Yes, thank you. Councillor Bark.
Comment I'd just like to make, I think many years back we looked at an age group, and that's where the 25 came in, that we've seen it as being the youth up to age 25. But then income, the discrimination acts and that, so I think it may be a good idea to check out where do you put an age, or what happens in instances where we say 25 years of age is up to 25 years of age, that we give grants and don't consider others.
Yes, through the chair to the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Barber. Can I suggest that council move a motion independent of this to direct the general manager to get legal advice, if that's what you're seeking to do? So,
yeah,
you could amend the motion to move it as it is, and then have a second part of that motion as directed to the general manager to get legal advice.
Well, would the movers be open to just adding a clause subject to qualifying the legality of the 25-year age restriction? Will you consent to that being added? So the mover has indicated that they consent. The seconder, do you consent to that being added?
I'd be certainly interested in following it up, but I'm not sure if it's just the wording in the policy. I mean, there's positive ageism, there's positive sexism, positive racism. This has come from a positive youth space, and from memory, under 25 is no, or over 25 is no longer a youth. So It doesn't say youth in regards to that, but I think that's what we're leaning towards. So to get, I just think maybe we should clarify then what we're trying to do.
So yes, you were okay with us adding subject to it being legally qualified? No, because that would resolve exactly what you just mentioned. We could get get a legal opinion on whether or not the wording needs to be changed.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Okay. I agree.
Thank you. So let's just add that then to the motion, if we can, please, Louise. And just add a second point. If you can just assist Louise with some wording.
If I may, councillors, can I suggest some changing to the wording to be a little bit more directive? I think the intent is that you want to get qualified advice to say that the clause within the policy, or you want to get some advice to say that limiting the grant opportunity to people under 25 is not discriminative.
Yeah. Correct.
So adopt the amended policy subject to obtaining qualifying advice that limiting grant funding to those under the age of 25 is not discriminative.
25 and under, would you say?
Yes, under the age of 25. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you. Well done.
Question. Why do we even have that in the policy?
So the Chair, as the discussion around the table has indicated, and my understanding is that it was to encourage the use of the municipality to apply for assistance.
So the motion now, the recommendation, should I say, now reads that Council adopt the amended GGC 11 Community Assistance Policy subject to qualifying advice that limiting grant funding under 25 years is not discriminatory. I think that that captures it as well. All right, any other comments? None? Councillor Ball, have you got your microphone on to speak? Okay, we'll hand it back to you. Do you have a question?
Okay, Councillor. So, I understand this is an update of existing policy.
Yes.
Is there any reason why it's rushed to get through this month?
Not necessarily. It's a periodic review, that's all.
Just, you know, we're looking at seeking advice, and if there's no rush, would it be better to defer it for a month? I do note, I thought it might be a bit rushed because it has a lot of track changes in it, a lot of red writing through it. Doesn't raise clear as a new policy, so I thought it might be a rush to get it through, that's all. So I'd rather wait until we get the advice on that one. Thank you.
I'll second that motion to defer.
So we have two, so I'm going to call that then the procedural motion if you're moving to defer. That is procedural, right? Okay. So let me just capture. So we have from Councillor Orr and from Councillor Dawson a procedural motion to defer. Okay, so being a procedural motion, first you're going to vote on whether you accept the procedural motion, in which case, if it is accepted, it becomes substantive at the same time. So you're now voting on whether you want to defer this item. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. So it looks like you're almost unanimous there, so that motion is then deferred. So we'll just bring that one back to workshop then, Cheryl. Just have another second look at it and then... No, because you accepted it and it's become substantive at the same time. Okay, Section 11, Organisational Performance and Strategy. This month there are nil. Section 12. The offices of the Mayor, and in this case the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and councillors. Can I call for a mover and a seconder to accept the report? Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason, you may take it away and ask any questions if you like.
Thank you, Mayor. Just as a recommendation, report from the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Councillors on the matters of involvement received and information noted, and open the floor for questions from others. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Any questions from anyone?
I don't have a question. I'd just like to make a statement around the Mountain of Voices that I attended on the 4th of April at Port Denerville School. So there's a group, Terrapin Port Denerville hosted Terrapin and the Interim Commissioner for Children and Young People, Isabel Crompton. There's basically a forum where community leaders, local decision makers and children between the ages of 10 and 18 met with local police and people such as myself, Andrew Taylor, Manette Burt, Jada Clifford at the school. They had an interactive artwork, and it was pretty much offered the right to share the views on matters that affect the children. So they had a Dalek kind of a big art installation with a nice big megaphone off it, and each of the kids actually got to climb up to the top of it and tell us what their important issues were. We found issues like safety and transport and that type of thing are major issues for them. Some kids want more shops that they can go into locally, and opportunities to travel a little bit safe around the community are fairly important. So I just wanted to put that out there. It was a great forum and one that I think the young people really valued.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dawson. Any other questions?
Councillor Orr. To the Mayor, you did attend and open and spoke at the Kinamata Quinta Georgetown Art Prize. Won't freaking stop it. But I will. So, Jennifer Dickens won the Royal Prize, Jenny won the Photo Prize, and packing room was Bobby?
Bobby, I think under a pseudonym, which was interesting.
Pseudonym, yeah,
that's
right.
Correct.
He's got white tag on.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic. I just want to commend our team in council who put this together, particularly Emily Rose, who has brought a lot of passion to this space. I get a feel that we have a bit of a march on now. This is becoming a regular event. The quality of the entrance was very high. I'm truly delighted to see the depth of our creative community and the depth of talent in that community, as evidenced by the quality of the submissions. As I said on the evening, I think we can dream a little bit larger here, and maybe the King Masata Kinta Art Prize one day will be talked of in the same sense as the Archibald, or who knows, but I think it's, or the Glover, it was very impressive, and I really congratulate all the people who entered for their enthusiasm, and the quality of their work was outstanding, so well done. All right, if there are no more questions, I think we will call that one done. Councillor Mason, to close?
Close, thank you.
We'll put that one to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We are unanimous. Section 13 in petitions. This month there are nil. Section 14, notices of motions. This month there are nil. Section 15, councillors' questions with or without notice. Please firstly note the responses provided to Councillor Barwick and to Councillor Lowe. And I'll open it to councillors if you have any additional questions without notice for this month's agenda.
Before you go on, on the one about Mr. Cox, is there, I noticed the response and what the response says, that you look at places. Now, is there any way that we could think of the secret park, which is over in the area where he lived? I believe that the reason that this has been looked at is so it was to be somewhere where Mr. Cox lived.
Through the chair to the
gentleman. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take that as a question without notice, and officers will respond accordingly, but I think that is certainly an opportunity for officers to be able to pursue. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillors, are there any other questions without notice this month? With that, we'll move on. Okay, section 16. The time now, I will note, is 3:06. Well, actually, no, that's not the right one. Hold on. So, your request is to adjourn the meeting until...
Okay. If you can provide a rationale for why you aim to do so. Councillor, I am going to decline your request for an adjournment. As far as I'm aware, there is appropriate support and appropriate mechanisms in place by which to provide anonymity to anyone who wants to ask any confronting or difficult questions. So I'm going to propose we continue with the meeting as per the existing agenda. So I'm going to decline that. I'm declining your request. If you want to formally move that as a motion, you are entitled to do so. Okay, so Councillor Mace, Councillor Archer requests the adjournment until Thursday the 13th, Tuesday to you, the 13th of May. Seconded by Councillor Barwick. Okay, is there anything you want to add as mover, Councillor Archer? Councillor Archer indicated that he does not. I respect that. Councillor Barwick, is there anything you want to add as seconder?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I also are a little bit worried and don't feel safe as to what went on today. And I think that it's up to the rest of the council whether or not we can defer this to the 13th, which will be a workshop day. I can't see why, and if need be, we can also have a workshop day. Look, I won't say any more, I'll just leave that.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. I'm going to take that as you've both spoken to the motion as mover and seconder. I'm not so sure that there's really much room to debate the motion, except to take it at face value, but I will afford the opportunity to anybody who wants to say something and note the sensitivity of the mover and seconder's request, please, given this is open forum, if anyone would like to speak to the motion.
Councillor Archer mentioned that he does not feel safe going in a closed session. Were those your words, Councillor Archer? I think either way, we probably need to respect that. We've also, all of the councillors around here except for the two movers have attended certain health and wellness sessions. Maybe that gives opportunity for those two councillors to be further informed.
So I am. Again, I just want to be really, really clear that in terms of adjournments, the chair's, the act is pretty clear. It says that the chairperson may adjourn to a later date or to a later date on the same day. You may only adjourn in a meeting for a proper purpose and if it is reasonable to do so in the circumstances. Now again, we have a item that has been raised as a late agenda item. Again, I have to be satisfied that the welfare of my fellow councillors in terms of their psychosocial well-being is respected. I have comfortable that if that item is appropriately handled with the appropriate people in attendance, it will be the case. I personally am leaning that there is no compelling reason to not deal with this item, since the same conditions, in my opinion, will exist on the 13th of May. So again, I just want everyone to understand that that's my personal read of the regulations and how I am viewing
point of order.
For transparency on the record.
Point of order. Regulation 20. 21D. Now a motion. I'll email you later with my concerns.
21, addressing the council meeting, is that the one you're talking about?
Regulation 20.
20
sub 1, 3.
Okay, so it's a procedural motion. So let me clarify then. So the mover and the seconder is now morphed into a procedural motion to defer, to adjourn. Okay, so this is a procedural motion now to adjourn. So we will cease all debate and we will now put this to the vote. All of those who are in favour of the motion to adjourn, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Barwick, we have Councillor Archer, and we have Councillor Lowe. All those who are opposed to deferring or adjourning, please raise your hand and say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Orr. Abstaining is Councillor Dawson, so I'll record his vote in the negative. So the motion is defeated. Let me make sure I get those votes right. So the motion is defeated by 7-2 by my count, by 2-7. You voted to support, it is by 3-6. Let me get to that right, and low. Go. Yeah, but I was saying it counted up against.
Yes.
So it's 63, correct. Now you've got it all right. All right, which means we are now ready to close the open session. So the time now is 3:14. And we will now be closing the open part of this meeting. And moving into closed session, can I call for a mover and a seconder to close? Mover and a seconder to close. Thank you. We have Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Mason. We'll put that straight to a vote. All those in favour of moving to close, please raise your hand or say aye. We're just moving to move to closed session, that's all. Councillor Barwick, are you voting to move to close? You're leaving? Okay. So we've then got 7 people in attendance, so that means that the vote is 9 people, so it's 8 people. 8 people, so it is 7-1 approved to move to close. Okay. No, she actually didn't register a vote, so I'm calling that abstained, so I'm recording her as an abstained, which is an against, so that's how I get to 7-1.
Mr. Mayor, can you maybe take
a small recess?
So I can help Councillor Bauer, I can do it.
Yes, a small recess so that assistance can be afforded to Councillor Bauer. I will just hold for a few minutes.